this morning, so I'm going to bless the tithe and offering right now. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, for his sacrificial death, for all that he has done for us, which makes us a part of your body, part of your family. So, Father, today we present to you our tithes and offerings. Lord, they are an honor to give them to you. Lord, receive them now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now you may be all seated for a moment. I thought we ought to take care of God first. I know what I'm doing. This ain't my first rodeo. We would like to take the opportunity, before we do the announcements, to sing happy birthday to somebody. Mr. Rob. Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rob. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, praise God. So, now on that note, I do have some announcements real quick. Well, I've already done number one, Happy Resurrection Day. Also, today's building fund offering. You already got that. But in the conference center on the north wall, you'll see a spring mural backdrop that you and your family are welcome to take a picture of. If you need somebody, just ask anybody that can push a button on an iPhone or a cell phone. Or if you have your camera, but it'll be set up through today and possibly Mother's Day. Also, this Friday at 7 p.m., Bible study here at the church, Rob and Katie, I believe Romans 10 now, Romans 10. I highly encourage you to read it. You know what's all, you know, I know people think that I don't look at my Bible before I come in here because I'm still standing back in there looking at it. That's far from the truth. I read it, I know the scripture, I'm going over and over and over and over in my head what is possibly going to be said. So, Romans 10. This Saturday, 4:15, ladies strengthen him training, or strengthen him, will meet here at the church at 9:30 to 11. Come ready to be strengthened by fellowship, worship, and word, all in the beautiful presence of our Savior King and alongside your sisters in Jesus. That's a lot of S's for me. Praise God. All right, so we are going to partake in communion this morning. And if you're not familiar with what communion is, it's a commemoration of what Jesus did. His body, his blood. Every covenant, and it's a covenant, is made in blood. You know, most of us remember back in the day when anybody ever have a blood brother? You cut your hand and... I mean, nowadays we realize that's really stupid. But, you know, back in the day, I remember, oh yeah, me and my neighbor friend, man, we just, oh yeah, we're blood brothers now. Well, first off, your cut has to heal, and that hurts for about 2 weeks. And never mind the possible illnesses that might transfer through blood. But see, the blood of Jesus doesn't do that. The blood of Jesus was presented as a sacrifice to us. So as we participate in that today, let's remember, the sacrifice has been made. God doesn't need another sacrifice from you. His word says, I actually prefer obedience over sacrifice. So I'd rather you just do what needs to be done and receive the sacrifice my son made. Amen? So gentlemen, if you will bring forth the sacraments, we will let them get up here. And if you'll all stand, and we'll remain standing until we're all ready. So, my praise team ready, whatever's going on. Okay, so we'll start over here, do that section, and we'll peel off and just keep going around and so forth. All right? You get to lead the way. Or Tammy will get in front of you. Come on. Come on, Tammy, get up here. Show them how to do it. So the night that Jesus was betrayed by a friend, he looked at his disciples. He said, I have earnestly yearned, I've desired to partake with this. You need to understand, he knew what was about to come. He knew exactly what was about to happen. And he had prepared himself for it. Because he even said, this was my purpose, was to become this sacrifice. And he knew the pain of the betrayal that was about to happen. You know, we've all been betrayed. Somebody betrayed us for a little bit of nothing, but it didn't cost us anything. Jesus, it was his life. He said, "This is my body that will be broken for you. Let's partake." He picked up the glass of wine. He said, "This represents my blood of the covenant. It will fulfill the prophets and the law. You will no longer be held under the power of sin and death. And by this covenant, you can live. We no longer have to sacrifice animals. We have to receive what he has done. So let's receive of that now." Father, we thank you for the blood and the body of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed. And on this day, Lord God, you raised him from the dead, conquering death once and for all. So Father, right now, we receive all the promises of your covenant. The freedom from the sin. Lord God, the freedom to live. And as you said, Jesus, you brought us life and to give us life more abundantly. So, Father, we receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, super kids are dismissed. Forgot about that. Well, as I can tell at the beginning of service, I hope most of you really enjoyed the Carmen video. That song is from about 84. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's just as powerful today. And here's the thing. He met his Lord, like 2 years ago. And I have to think, when he got there, if there's a song he did, you know, maybe you need to Google it on YouTube or search it, whatever, but it's called Lazarus. See, what people forget was on Wednesday or Thursday last week, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead before he came himself. And he's talking about all those saints that were there, Jeremiah, Enoch, Job, they're all talking about how God... Lazarus says, "But I knew him in a way you never. I was there." Think about that. He was there. And then he died. And Jesus raised him from the dead 4 days later. And I have to think about that part in the song where death and the devil are on the phone talking, and he says, "You know, Lazarus was dead 4 days, and he raised him, but Jesus says he's only going to be dead three. 3 days. 3 days, three nails, 3 days, one way to God." That's what it is. There's only one way to God. I think, what have I been hearing, like 4,200 world religions, and that's the ones we know of? I mean, but there's only one empty tomb. There's only one empty grave, only one way to God. As I contemplated the message for today, I was like, "Man, Lord, I've taught a few Easter, Resurrection Sunday messages. What do you do on year 22? You teach the truth again." And this week I heard something, and I knew it to be the truth to begin with, but it was just something that hit me. It's like, huh, okay. You know, we see an image of the cross, right? We think, oh, my salvation, my life. The cross has never, ever, ever represented life. Ever. It's in a graveyard, right? It's in cemeteries. You got crosses. Are those live or dead? They're dead. And Jesus began teaching something before this took place. And that's where we're going to go. So in Mark chapter 8, let me get in the right direction here. We still plugged in? Am I still on? Laser works. Is that thing still in the front? Oh, there we are. Okay. It's delayed reaction. We're just having all kinds of fun today. He said, when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, we think that taking up our cross means we're to pick up our calling. But that's not at all what Jesus was trying to paint a picture of. Because you need to understand that in about 30 AD, when Jesus started his ministry, people had been crucified for a long time. Spartacus was a real person. And I don't know, was it maybe hundreds of miles that they had crosses on the roads? And they crucified people and they just let the birds pick their bones clean. They didn't clean them off. They were making an example of them. And Jesus knew this, and they had this example in their head. They had seen people carrying their crosses. And they weren't 2x4s. They weren't 4x4s. Imagine, if you will, a barn beam. Because they reused them over and over, and they needed to be able to hold up. It was a cruel, cruel way to die. And we take it so lightly of what took place. And the saddest part is we take it so lightly of what Jesus was teaching here. Oh, no, this means that I'm to pick up my calling, brother. No, your calling has already been determined. Whether you answer that call is another issue. But this is something he said to all people. Pick up your cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. See, my calling has nothing to do with saving my life. Picking up my cross does. It had everything to do with saving my life. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, picking up our cross is for us to die to self. Not your ambitions necessarily. Because if they're God-given ambitions, he'll see them through. I look back in my own life, and that's the only one I can really use. My ambitions was not to join the Marines. My ambitions was definitely not to preach. Farthest thing from my mind. However, I had grown enough in maturity to understand that when God actually gave me marching orders, after I told him no, little insubordination there, I did answer. I did do what I had to do. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, when you lay down your life, your desires, your goals, I had no idea where I wanted. I could have been retired by now. Do you understand? Could have had a government job, retired. Good pension. Sit back, get lazy. No, retirement doesn't mean you get lazy. But Jesus said, if you don't pick up your cross, you're not going to be my disciple. I'll show you that in a second. But how many of you want to find your life? You want to find your best life. My life wasn't hateful before. And as I've said before, I said a prayer when I was about 8. And honestly, I don't remember the prayer. I remember the baptism. And the church that I was in at that particular time, baptism meant you were saved. And I've had, and I'm working on correcting it with, so people understand, baptism doesn't mean you're saved. Confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. That is Scripture. Okay? We'll get into baptism on another message. But I never knew what it meant until I was 21. The only thing I honestly feared was going to hell. I had come to terms that, you know what, I may have to go to battle. I joined and somebody said, do you think you can kill people? And I said, well, they can't make me kill anybody. And they can't. It wasn't until I learned what love was that I would defend my brother. I would defend the people here. And if that meant taking a life, then so be it. But it also meant that I could die. So I got to understand that. And when I understood that, I started to understand what laying down my life was. See, I didn't have to give up all of my desires. I built models. I loved to build models. And I'm going to tell you, I built some great models. There's a lot of nights working at the shop late. There's a lot of miles ran. There's a lot of marching done. There was a lot of cleaning done. There's a lot of other things that I had to do. I didn't necessarily care to have to do them. But at that point, my life wasn't my own, and that's when I really began to understand. And honestly, I didn't get that understanding until after I became a pastor. Because I thought God sent me to the Marines, so I knew how to handle people with a strong fist. You know, the knife. That don't work. Take you to too many preachers that tried to rule like that. Doesn't work. So then in Luke chapter 12, I gave the wrong scripture. I know that's not it. Okay, I gave the wrong scripture, so we're going to go to the next one. But Jesus answered and said, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. I affirm by the boasting in which I have in Christ. Evidently, yes, I forgot the rest of that scripture. Jesus went on to say, though, the same exact thing he said earlier. You've got to pick up your cross and follow me, because if you do not pick up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. We're called to be disciples, ladies and gentlemen. Every last one of us. That means disciplined ones. Some people are going to have discipline in other areas stronger than others. You need to understand that. Well, I don't see why they just can't walk in victory in this. I do. There goes the self-righteousness. The reality is, I can only do the things through Christ. And the little bit that I get by, you need to understand, the bit that I get through on those things that you think I fail at are so much greater than where I was here. So if that's the way you look at people, stop it. That's called judging. I don't want to get the throne of God and Him say, all right, Art, I'm going to judge you the way you judged your wife. Can I have a redo? No, you can't, just so you know. So Jesus told us we have to pick up our cross. We have to die. Not physically. Let's just get this straight out there right now. People tell, oh, you're going to take your cross. If you end up crucified, okay. Picking up your cross had a new meaning to you. But that's not what Paul was talking about either. Because Paul started talking about dying. We'll talk about that here in a second. But he didn't die until 65 to 67 AD. when Rome took his head. And yet he preached about this the whole time. He heard the words of Jesus. And so when we die, just like Jesus died, and then see, this is kind of where it's going to come right back into the whole baptism thing. I'm not dead, right? At least I'm pretty sure I'm not in the Sixth Sense movie or anything else. I'm alive. But I have died in Christ. And in Christ, I have been raised up. A new creation. A new creature. But that doesn't mean that I can just say, oh, well, let the reins off. I can do whatever I want. Absolutely not. Even Paul said, all things are lawful to me now. If I want to go hit Harold, I can hit Harold. I'm going to use that one. Harold, I'm going to be your punching bag. No. But would it be beneficial to me? Ooh, great. You hit a man. Wow. Way to go, Ying Yang. The Marine just about came out on that one. Way to go. You hit somebody you know wouldn't hit you back. That's real tough. Where do I lose the benefit? I lose the respect of every person that seen it, every person that heard it. And I can never get it back. Ever. See, we run around thinking we can just do everything we want, and we cannot. We'll even talk about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Quit twisting the scriptures. We'll talk about that on another day. So we need to die. We have to lay our desires aside, folks. When I said, Lord, take me. Take me as I am. I don't want to know you through my wife. I don't want to know you through my parents. I don't want to know you through a preacher. I want to know you personally. And if it's not going to be that way, kill me. I'm still here. Because I honestly thought I could die that night. I guarantee I had alcohol poisoning. 3 days of just drinking. Every hour. And not just beer. I couldn't tell you parts of the day. Don't know where they went. But I was fighting. I was fighting in anger. And that was where I found comfort, was in that alcohol. I thought, my friends are doing, they're having fun. Your friends are also the ones that start fights every time they get drunk. Do you really want to fight? When I said that, folks, God took the alcohol away from me. No longer had a taste for it. It's not saying that there weren't opportunities for it to taste up. I've shared before, I couldn't go to Lowe's during spring season because they put out those Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels. And that was my weakness. And I'd walk by, I'm like, Finally, it got to the point, I could smell it, nothing. I could still smell it, didn't bother me. I was dead to it. I became dead to that sin. So we have to start becoming dead to our own personal desires. See, I always wanted to be in construction. I always did. I loved to build things. My favorite classes were shop and ag. And ag in particular when we got to build things or work on things. Because any place I ever lived on had about an acre. And I'm the guy with the three rabbits that the office in Columbus wanted to know what my agricultural aspirations were. Well, let's just talk about that, right? But I love to work with my hands. And as I laid down my life and started following Christ. I took jobs that I despised, mistreated, cheated. But I paid my bills. I kept my family under a roof. I kept them warm. I kept them clothed. As I kept moving closer to God's call on my life, as I was obedient to take the next step, God brought about my dream. And in the middle of my dream, he said, now you're going to finish fulfilling mine. And he called me to this work. Folks, my dream still gets to run. I still get to come in here and play. Some days it's play to me. Other days, not so much play. But I enjoy it. So God put desires in me that have helped this ministry. God has opened doors because of that. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul was saying, I affirm by the boasting which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Do you know some people have tried to teach that, you know, he was always in peril. He could die at any moment. Talk about a reach. We could all die at any moment. 747, boom. I use that because it's in a song. People that are afraid to live. You could be standing in a 747 or in a 711 and a 747 falls through the roof. You're gone. So why live your life in fear? Paul wasn't talking about the potential to die daily. I mean, we already know two times he was stoned to death. They left him for dead. And again, they didn't use golf ball size rocks, softball and up, because they buried them under that pile of rocks. As much as cruel and as unusual as the cross is, I have to think getting stoned is awful. I mean, I know what I want to do to the lawnmower when it kicks a rock out and it hits me. I want to throw the thing. It hurts. Yet, let alone somebody who's coming at me with a religious spirit full of hate and anger, and they want to kill me. I can't imagine that. So Paul wasn't talking about, I die daily. He didn't get stoned every day. He didn't die until, like I said, between 65 and 67 AD. That was when he died. He was about 65 years old. Paul was talking about, I die to myself daily. Because if you read the scriptures, and it would be very interesting to even see how his earlier works, most of the works we have were written, I think, within about 10 years of his death. But what he thought earlier in life. You know, he was such an argumentative person that he started arguing with people about Christ, that it started problems, and they had to run him out. The Christians said, get out of here. You're causing problems for us. Because they all think we're like you. And Paul wasn't allowed to preach the gospel for 8 years. Well, I'll preach wherever I want to, whenever. That just goes to show your immaturity and why you're going to fail. Well, I've got a calling. Yes, you do. I had a calling on me. And God started telling me at about 16 years of age. And not one time did I go out, well, I need to go to school. No, I don't need to go to school. I need to live life. Why do we have to go to school to teach people about the love of God? The Bible's written on a fifth grade level. It's not that hard to understand unless you are trying to manipulate it to fit your sin, to fit your ideology, because the truth of the matter is, I like to go in there and find two or three witnesses, as the Bible says. By two or three witnesses, let every fact be established. I had three witnesses that told me what I was going to be doing. But he said, I die daily. I have to put my will. Paul had to learn to put his will to death every day. Why? Because he'd get up and he'd want to argue. Now, there were times that worked out great. And the Acropolis was one of them. He got in there and said, hey, this is all the theological, philosophical type people. And they wanted to argue. He fit right in. Got in there and started telling about Jesus. But that's not a real effective way. Because I'll be honest with you, I will argue. There's coming a point, though, where I want to quit arguing. Let's take it out back. And so I don't like to argue. Especially with a religious mindset that is like concrete, all mixed up and permanently set. I had ideologies and thoughts and gotten the Word of God and I said, holy smoke, that's wrong. Here's one for you. I'm going to throw you all a curveball. Heaven is not paved with gold. Anybody want to argue with me? Keep your hand down. Revelation says, and I saw the city, New Jerusalem, coming down. Its gates were like pearls. Its streets were of fine, clear gold. The city, New Jerusalem, is not heaven. It's the place Jesus prepared for us. Y'all getting it yet? We took a theology and ran with it, hook, line, and sinker. Well, it talks about the heavens. Hey, how about we live where we're supposed to? I got this life to live. I don't need to worry about the next one. I got to get through this one yet. And I want to be the best that I can be here. And that means sometimes I have to change my thoughts. And sometimes it means I have to really change my theories. I'm not kidding you. When I said I wanted to rule as the military does, we got a few military guys in here, and they will tell you, you don't get to do what you want to do. You get up when they tell you to get up. And in boot camp, you go to the bathroom when they tell you you can go to the bathroom. You eat when they tell you to eat. You drink when they tell you to drink. You talk when they tell you to talk. But I got freedom of speech, freedom of speech. First thing you have to lay down when you start learning to love other people. Sometimes you just need to shut up. You got to die to yourself. Sometimes you got to listen. And just because I'm listening and maybe even shaking my head means I'm understanding what you're saying. I'm not necessarily agreeing. Because you can't take just one scripture and say, oh, this is what God said. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. Said by the wisest man to ever walk the earth aside from Jesus Christ. God didn't say that. Solomon said that. We have got to learn to die to ourselves. If we love others, we will die to ourselves. I've read numerous articles, especially here of late from Afghanistan and Iraq, of Marines and soldiers who died to save their platoon. They jumped on a grenade. That's not your normal instinct, ladies and gentlemen. It's to run, isn't it? It's to dive. But because of what one person did, others lived. And because of today, because of what one person did, we get to live. We don't get to live a crazy life. We have to die to our own desires. Like I said, people want to argue with me, I want to slap them. I can't do that. It's lawful, but not beneficial. Well, you need to crucify that. I do. That's why you didn't get slapped. There is a point where violence does have to happen. But I need you to understand something. God doesn't need you to go out and kill people. He doesn't need you to go out and beat people up. He needs you to love people. And you're only going to do that if you die to yourself. God, I want your will in my life. I know what I want to do. I mean, I'm not exactly a guy who likes the snow. Yet here I am in Ohio. And yet, there are people in here who love the snow. They love the cold. And yet here they are in Ohio. God has compromised. We have had mild winters. And I will take it that God is letting that happen for my sake. What was it Peter said, or Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Yeah, I'm not holding my breath because I have seen a blizzard on April 14th. So, it is April and it is Ohio. So, Paul said, "I die daily." Yesterday I got, or no, it might have been this morning I watched it, and I was just amazed. Most of us know who Deion Sanders is, right? Mr. Primetime, Neon. You know, I remember watching him play. And, you know, I was always taught, act like you've been in the end zone. And then we started getting all this breakdancing stuff going on. And then they had the excessive celebration and all this stuff. Not once did I ever think, he's hurting. Many people looked at his life and said, man, I wish I had his money. Look at the girls. Look at the money. Look at the cars. Look at the bling. Look at all this stuff he's got. Until I sat down and watched this interview with him. And he said, let me tell you right now, he said, I had it all. He said, I had all the sex you could ever think of. I had all the booze and drugs you could ever think of. I had all the cars. I had all the bling. And he said, and I knew there was something missing in my life, but I did not want to pay the price. I wasn't going to pay that price. He said, so I just kept going and spiraling and spiraling. He said, at one point, he said, this is when he was with the Cincinnati Reds. He said, when you take a whole bottle of pills in front of your teammates to show them you're serious about killing yourself, you've hit the bottom. And he said, later on, he said, on the west side of Cincinnati in my condo, he said, I just didn't know what to do anymore. He said, I couldn't control anything. I was trying to kill myself. And he said, I knew what I had to do, but I did not want to pay the price. What price? Dying to himself. And he said, but it got so heavy, I couldn't carry it anymore. And he said, then I dropped to my knees. He said, and I cried. Jesus, if you can use me, use me. But it's got to be real, not fake. Ladies and gentlemen, he's still teaching people about Jesus. I don't care about personality conflicts. That's usually the problem. Do you guys realize that? It's personality conflicts. Well, I don't like their personality. Too bad. Maybe they think you're a bit of a moron too. But you know what? It takes all of us. It takes all of our personalities. God can save Deion Sanders. What can he do with your life? Well, I still don't. I think he's, you know what? Get off on looking, because I've had to. I didn't like Deion. Just put it out there. Early on in his salvation, I mean, like within weeks or two, somebody gave him a mic and a Bible and platform and said, here, preach. Biggest mistake. If the Apostle Paul, a man who knew the Bible inside and out, took up about 8 years before he was allowed to preach because he knew the physical side of it, he didn't know what Jesus was actually saying. And once he got all that, Peter and Paul didn't like each other. The apostles didn't get along. And if you've been watching the Chosen, you will see they often had squabbles. And it's good to see that, but they stayed together for the purpose of sharing the love, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Andrew, one of those disciples, he was being led out to be crucified. His followers report that he stopped, saluted the cross, saying, I have longed for this joyous day. The body of Christ has sanctified the tree. And then they crucified him. They were going to crucify Peter, and Peter said, not like that. Turn it on its side. And they crucified him basically upside down. Because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. And yet, we dare to tell God, I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm not going to change the way I think. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to die to ourselves. We have to know. You get up, you know what Paul said? I die daily. Daily. He got up and he reaffirmed self. You're not in charge. You are not in charge. I can think of several groups over the years who have written songs about this very subject. Petra, Killing My Old Man. That got a lot of religious people's attention. But they never they argued against the guitar instead of listening to the words. And then they use the same guitar and drums in their church service. Killing My Old Man. Project 86, My Will Be a Dead Man. That's an awesome song if you're a headbanger. And then, I can't think of the name of the group, but Goodbye Self. Mercy Me, I think so. Goodbye Self. I didn't lose my identity. Do you guys realize that? I am still Art Waddell. I'm still that. I got the same DNA, same fingerprints, just a few more scars. I'm the exact same person I was before. But I have a greater revelation that I have to give mercy if I want mercy. I have to get love if I want love. I have to give respect if I want respect. But understand, we have to die. Let's stand. I was going to have a prayer line, but we're going to do this as a group. Every last one of us needs this. If you don't know Jesus, it's real simple. We've made it hard. We've made it difficult. I shared with somebody last night about how the thief on the cross just simply called Jesus Lord. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me. He got saved on the cross, man. That's like being in the electric chair. Or you're on the hangman's noose and just before they drop the floor out from underneath you. He said, you'll be with me. Because the Bible tells us, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You really do need to live a life that matches. But that's something for you to take up with God on Judgment Day. So if you don't know that, pray that right now in your heart. I don't know everybody, but if you mean it, you are saved. And if you do say it and mean it, tell me. I want to hear it. But we're going to pray today because that's what this day's about. All right? Oh, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that Jesus did raise, Father, to be the example, be the firstborn of many, and here we are. Now, Father, I know that every last one of us want your will in our lives. We want to follow you. So I want you all to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, help me now. Help me to die to myself. And help me to love others. To serve others. To forgive others. And receive your love. And receive your forgiveness. I thank you now that I am a victor. I am no longer the victim. I will rule and I will reign with Christ. And now, Father, I bless these. I bless them now. Lord, as they step out and they take these steps towards moving in their lives, Father, as they go out, Lord, I know many will be tempted and somebody will say it was just a prayer. Well, Father, I know it was just a prayer that I prayed laying on the north end of the island of Okinawa, afraid of going to hell. And you stopped that. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in their lives. Father, you're beginning to reveal your truth to them. You're beginning to open your word to them. Father, it will become revelation more and more. Lord, I thank you that they will receive the victory. They will receive your love. They will receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.